Begin the current daf, Masechta Sfachim, daf Mem Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Mem Beis, two lines up on the bottom of the Amud. We continue with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayis, discussing the halachas of Pigel when there's a machshava during one of the primary avodas of having the carbon being consumed either by Mizbeach or by a person, chutzlas mana beyond the time when it's allowed to be consumed. Now, that our Mishnah continues and says, Ve'elu dvarim she'en chayav maleim. And these items are things that one would not be liable karis for consuming it, mishum pigul, because of pigul. So although we said that when there's a halacha that the item becomes pigul, the one who consumes from the carbon is going to be chayav karis, these items, if one consumes from them, although the carbon is pigul, one is not going to be chayav karis on eating these items. And they are hakoymitz. Meaning, if let's say someone does kemitza on the mincha, which is one of the primary avodas, it's similar to what shechita is by a flower offering. Someone does kemitza to have the leftover parts of the flower offering eaten tomorrow. So the mincha becomes pigel. However, the one who eats the kemitza itself does not get karis. Why? Because this is the primary halacha that our Mishnah is discussing, because pigel does not take effect on something that is permitting other things. It's only on something that's getting permitted, like the shirayim, like the emurim. In contrast, the koimitz itself, nothing else permits the koimitz. The koimitz is what permits the rest of the mincha. And so do all these items our Mishnah is discussing. They are the matirim. It's only the things that become mutarim. Those are the things that when if someone eats from those things, and he had done pigel on the carbon during the matirim, during one of the primary avodas, that's when you're going to be chayav karis. But these things, that the matir themselves, nothing else permits them, then if one eats from them, one is not chayav karis. So they are sotu v'haktaris, the incense offering on the mizbeach, v'halavayna, and the frankincense that comes with every mincha, which is also a matir, and the kataris, nothing else permits it. As we continue on top of Mem Gimel and Aleph, Uminchas, and also the donated flower offering of Kahanim, which anytime a Kohen brings a Mincha, it's totally burnt on the Mizbech, and there's no Kemitza, therefore nothing else is permitting it. Regular Mincha, if someone eats from the leftover pieces of the flower offering, is going to be Chayav Karis, because it became permitted through the Kemitza. Here, the whole Mincha of the Kohen is the Matir itself, nothing else permitting it, and therefore, since it's not a Mutter, it's only a Matir, then there's no Karis on it. So to Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, what's known as the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which he brings every single day, half in the morning, half in the evening, it's totally burnt, so there's nothing else permitting it. And Vahadam, the blood of every carbon, it's the matter, it's not the thing that to get permitted, and therefore if one would consume the blood, would not be chayv a special iser of karis from the halach of pigel. And Vahanasachem Habom Bifnei Atzman Divrei Meir. And also, if let's say someone brings the libations, whether by itself, whether it's because he made a nedava just of nesachim, as the Gemara Menachos Daf Kuf Dalem Beis says that a person could be menadim, can make a donation just of nesachim of libations, or even if it's the nesachim that comes with the karbanas, but however he brought the karban on one day and he brought the nesachim on the following day, which the Gemara tells us Menchasa ben Eskeim that you could bring the nesachim even on the following day, then says Reb Meir that then since it's coming on its own, it's not being permitted by the karban. So again, it's not a mutter, and it's totally its own thing, and therefore it's not going to be a chi of karis. But if, let's say, it was brought together with the carbon, and then there was a pigel on the carbon, then the nesachim, which gets permitted, which is secondary to the carbon, then there would be halacha of pigel on the nesachim, and if one would eat from it, one would be chi of karis. Now, v'chomarim, they disagree. They say, no, af ha-boin ima behema. Even the nesachim that's brought on the same day as the carbon, since, however, as we just said, if the person wanted to, he could have brought the nesachim on the following day. So the chacham holds. So it comes out, essentially, that the carbon is not what permits the nesachim to be brought. Although the carbon has to be brought and then the nesachim are brought. But since it doesn't have to be brought on the same day, it comes out, even when they are on the same day, the nesachim are permitting themselves. And therefore, they're not mutarin, rather they're the matirin. And therefore, the chacham holds, there's never going to be pigel, a chi of karis, a pigel of consuming the nesachim. Similar machlekes, continues the Mishnah, Loig shemen shel mitzayra, regarding the loig, which is a certain measurement of oil of the mitzayra, which they would do some of the avodas of the purification of the mitzayra from his nega with that shemen, and the leftovers would be eaten, as the Gemara taught, is going to teach later on the Mem Dalem and Beis in the next perek. So regarding that loig shemen shel mitzayra, Reb Shimon Aimer, he says, Ein chayav nalav mishim pigel. If let's say the kohen who did the avodah had a machshava of pigel in the carbon asham itself, which is the carbon that the loig comes with to purify the mitzayra, then the loig does not become pigel. Now, although essentially the leg is contingent on the Ashim, as the Pasuk says in Mikra Yudal, Al Mokim Dama Ashim, exactly the places where the Kohen would throw on the Metzaira, the blood of the Ashim, that's where he would put the leg, some of the oil of the leg of the that Shemin. And actually, if he didn't put the Dama of the Ashim first, he can't put the oil over there. Even so, Reb Shimon holds that since a person could bring his Korban Ashim today, and he could bring the leg of Shemin 10 days from now, so again, the same idea comes out that the Ashim is not what's permitting it, and therefore since there's no Matim, so it's not going to be a liability of Pigel. Whereas Reb Meir, as we said him in the previous Machlekes, he says the leg that comes with the Ashim on that same day, then Chayav La Mishim Pigel, since it's coming in that same day, then if there was a Machshava Pigel in the Korban Ashim, then there's going to be the Chiv Karza Pigel on the leg of oil. Shadama Ashim Matiri, as Rameh said in the previous Machlekes, that in that situation he holds that the blood of the Ashim is permitting the in that case the Nesachim, and in this case the leg of Shemin, and therefore it would become the Chiv of Karza Pigel if one ate from that leg of Shemin. Continues the Mishnah. V'chol sheyesh lo matirin, and anything that has permitters, bein lo adam, bein lo mizbeach, if whether it's permitting it to be consumed by a person or whether it's permitting it to be consumed by the mizbeach, chayav nalav mishim pigel, those items that are becoming permitted by something else to be consumed by a person or the mizbeach, on those items, if one ate from it, he would be chayav the halacha pigel of karis if there was a machshava of chutz l'zmanoi on one of the primary avodas. As the Mishnah explains, regarding ha'oila, the carbon oila, which all of the animals totally sacrificed in the mizbeach, dama matir es besara l'mizbeach. When they do the zrika of the dam, of the carbon oila, that permits its meat to be burnt on the mizbeach. Like the pasuk says, v'zarkoi, throw the blood. And then it says v'archa, then you put the pieces of the oila on the mizbeach. And v'oir l'kahanim. And it also permits the hide of the carbon oila to the kahanim. Like the pasuk says, oir ha'oila asha hikrivu, which sounds like, what type of hide of the oila do you give to the kahanim? Only after it was hikrivu, after the zrika of the dam. So for these items, if one would consume them, there would be a chiv of pigel on these items. So to oila sa'if, the carbon oila, that's a bird oila. Dama matar es besar l'mizbeach. The blood is what permits the meat to be burnt on the mizbeach. And again, so on the meat itself, although it's burnt on the mizbeach, if one would eat from it, there would be chiv karis of pigel. Chatas a'if, an oif bird chatas. Dama matas besar l'kahanim. The blood is what permits the meat to be eaten by the kahanim. The Gemara is going to explain where do we know that the chatas a'if, that its meat is eaten by the kahanim. But since it gets permitted, if one would eat from it, and there was a machshava of pigel when they were doing the avodas of the zrika, then there would be a chiv of karas. Parman nisrafim v'seir man nisrafim. The bull and the he-goats that are burnt inside, they're burnt outside, chutz l'machne, but they're the ones that the bloods are thrown inside the heichel, like we say, the par ha'm dovish al tzibur, and the par of the kohen gadol Yom Kippurim, and the seir of the Jewish people on Yom Kippurim. There are certain karbonis that, in seir avodah zarah, that their its meat is burnt chutz l'machne. Dam and matter es emirim lekarv. The blood is what permits the sacrificial parts to be sacrificed. So therefore, when there's a machshava of pigel on the emurim at the time of doing the avodas of the dam, so then the bull, meaning the emurim, are going to become pigel, and if one would eat from the emurim, he's going to be chayev achiev of karas. Shimon Omer, and he's disagreeing on this halach of the parma nisrafim, he says no. Kol she'enoi, any carbon that it's not going to have the gift of its blood al mizbech achitzen, on the outer mizbech kishlamim, because the halach of pigel is written in the parish of shlam, like it says in the Yikra Perek Zayin, then ein chayav la mishum pigel, there's not going to be a liability of pigel, because the halach of pigel is on the shlam, which on the mizbech achitzen, those which their bloods are brought in the mizbech hazav, and that's inside bethnim and the heichel, they don't have the halach of pigel, and therefore if one would eat from the sacrificial parts, it's not going to be chayav pigel for a chiv of kars. Now the Gemara introduces the following teaching, which will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Ulei says, "Kaimitz pigel, if there is a fistful of the flour offering, which is the kmitza, which is burnt on the mizbeach, that's pigel, because when they were doing the avoda, they had the machshav of chutz l'zmanoi, shehel ogav mizbeach, which was placed on top of the mizbeach, paka pigula mimeno. It removes the pigel from that kmitza, which later on the Gemara is going to explain for what halacha we're saying that it removes the halacha of pigel from it. And based on the following logic, if the kmitza, which is one of the primary avodas of the mincha, it's similar to what the dam is by the carbon, is what the kmitza is by the mincha, is what brings the rest of the mincha to pigel, so it itself, isn't it all the more so that it's going to have the halachic status of pigel? So the Gemara asks, my kama, what is Ula saying? He's trying to say that a concept that the kmitza gets removed from it, the status of pigul, and then he says a reason what would make it into pigul. So that says the Gemara Hachim, this is what Ula is saying. He was saying, im einoy miskabel, if the kmitza will not be accepted in its sacrifice on the mizbech, which is what every time we do with the kmitza, sacrifice the mizbech, then heich mevi achem l'dei pigul, then how could it bring the rest of the mincha into pigul? So when he says that it removes the pigul from it, it means to say, meaning we're allowing it to be considered as if it was a sacrifice on the mizbech, because we're saying it has to make the rest of the mincha into pigul. Because someone who sacrifices a kmitza with the intention to eat the leftovers tomorrow, how could the mincha become pigul if this haktara is not haktara? So what Ula is saying is, when we're saying it itself, isn't it all the more so what? That it should be received as the haktaras or kmitza from the fact that we're saying it's considered that it's going to be meratza, the rest of the carbon, the rest of the mincha, to be considered pigul. Just like we say regarding the avodah zarah, it has to be karvamatik mitzvah. So I mean, it has to be like you did the avodah. Here, if you're making this into a pigul for the rest of it, it has to be that, like, as if you sacrificed, or else the shiraim wouldn't become pigul. So that is the Gemara. So my kamash malan. So what exactly is Ula teaching us? What does he want to say with this idea when he says paka pigulai? If it's that he's coming to say that if someone would eat from the kmitza after it was put on the top of the mizbeach, dein chayov nolav mishim pigul, he's saying that must be that it's considered sacrifice on the mizbeach. Why? He says, because how else would it make the rest of the carbon pigul? Fine, so it is. So he's saying, so it's considered the lechem hamizbeach. It's already considered that it was sacrificed. So what? So you're saying, therefore must be paka pigulai, because it was pigul, then there wouldn't be valid to be considered sacrifice. So it's removing the pigul. So what do you gain from knowing that halacha? What do we do? So if you want to say that, it's to say that ein chayav lam shem pigul, that if someone eat it now, he wouldn't be chayav karis for eating it. And that is the Gemara. Well, tenina, we learned that halacha in our Mishnah, that even without going on the top of the mizbeach, there's anyway no liability of karis for eating the kmitza of a mincha that's pigul. Like the Mishnah said. Mishnah said, Eilu dvarim shein chayav nalei mishim pigul. It opened up the Mishnah, that these are the things that there's not going to be a liability of karis for eating from this mincha that has pigul on it. And they are hakoimitz, the kmitza, vakteris, the incense, valavoyna, the frankincense, the mechaz kayanim, the mincha v'kayin, the mincha v'kayin mashiach, the mincha v'kayin gadol, the mechaz nasachim, the mincha of the libations, the v'hadam, and the blood, where we said, because they're the matur, they're not mutarin. So you wouldn't need to say, oh, that it went on the Mizbeach, oh, that removed it from the pigul. What do you mean? Even if it didn't go on the Mizbeach, anyways, no chiyuv of course. So, rather, you're going to say, no, this is what Ula means when he says that it removes the status of pigul from it, is dim olu lo yerdu. What it means to say is, if the kmitza went up on top of the Mizbeach, then we're not going to take it down anymore. That meaning, if something's pigul, it's not appropriate to be Mizbeach. When we're saying it removes the pigul from it, we're saying, once it's up, we're not going to take it down. And that is the Gemara Tanina that we also learn in the Mishnah on Peidala and Aleph. The Mishnah teaches us regarding the meat of the carbon halon that was left overnight, which is nicer, or v'hayotze, or if it was taken out of the perimeter, that's allowed to be, or v'hatame, or became impure, or v'shenishchet chutz lezmanoi, or if it was slaughtered to be consumed beyond its time, which is the halacha of pigul, or v'chutz mekame, with a machshava of having eaten beyond its perimeter, im olu lo yerdu. The Mishnah says clearly this halacha, but went up and not taking it down. So therefore, we don't need Ula to teach us this. So we're going to say no. Ula means to say what it's going to, when we're saying it's removing the pigul, is the imyerdu, that if it went down, meaning that after it was put up on the mizbeach, it then was taken down, that then, and there's actually different gersoyas here, either like Argus is that to say that it's still yala, we're going to put it back up, or like the Shita Mukubetza says, means that it's not going to go back up. But either way, says the Gemara, this cannot be the teaching Ula is teaching us. Hanamitinina, this was also taught anyway, this halacha, over there in that Mishnah. It says, Kishem Shim Alu Lo Yerdu, just like if it goes up, you're not going to take it down. All these psulim, which include the halacha of pigul, Kachem Yerdu Lo Yalu, if it went down, then you're not going to take it back up. So that can't be Ula's teaching, that it's going to go up, even when it was taken down, because the Mishnah says clearly that a pigul, in this case the kmitza, if it went down, you're not going to take it back up. So says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha, no, is necessary this halacha of Ula, Shemashla Behen Ha'or. Ula was teaching about when the kmitza had the fire, had already charred the kmitza, the fistful of the flour. And that is what Ula is teaching us. Then it already became what's called lachme shel mizbeach, the bread of the mizbeach. And then is where Ula say that no, then even if it went back down, it's going to be taken back up. This brisa that said that if the Mishnah that said that if it went down, you're not going to take it back up, was when the fire didn't yet take possession and burn the kmitza. But if it already took a hold of the fire, already charred the kmitza, then it's already considered as a Hashem's bread, so to speak, and you put it back on the mizbeach. That has to give more hanami amr ula chadizimna. But if that's the teaching Ula is teaching us, he already said that halacha once in a different context. Dama ula, he said, loishan, we did not learn that if, as that Mishnah says, that if those things that are invalid, including the halacha of pigul, that if they went down, that then that regarding that they're not going to go back up, meaning if they had gone up, so you don't take it down. But if anyways it went up and then came back down, you're not going to take it back up, Ula qualified. And he says, that would then teach Ela Shalei Mashla Ben Aor, only if the fire did not yet take possession and start burning the kmitza of those items, which those pigul, of a Mashla Ben Aor Yalu, but if the fire already took hold of it, then you will put it back up. So Ula already taught it. Why did he have to teach in the context of our halacha of this kmitza that had pigul that you're going to put it back up? Says the Gemara, what would you say if you only had that teaching of Ula qualifying the halacha of the meat, of the limbs of the karbanis that came, that were pigul, that went up but came down? You're not going to put it back up. But if it was mashma in order, you'll put it back up. You would say, Hanamili, when did we say that as that teaching is regarding meat, as a ketin tamid beis, maybe that's only aver de mechaber, a limb of a piece of the carbon, which is connected. So you could say, oh, maybe Ula said over there, once the fire took a hold of part of it, then we say that the sanctity of Lechem Hashem, that because the fire of the Mizbech took hold of it, would pertain to the entire limb, even though the fire only took a hold of part of the limb. Avokaimitz de mifras, but regarding the fistful of flour, which is crummy because it's flour, emuloi, I would say no, that maybe what the fire took a hold of, the kaimitz, that part is considered the Mizbech. But the other part would maintain its halacha, that if it went down, it wouldn't come back up. Kamashmalan, that's what we had to teach Ula's halacha in the context that we quoted here, that regarding, even regarding the kmitza, that even though it's flour, we consider the whole kmitza as one limb, and therefore even if the fire took a hold of only part of the kmitza, and it went down, all of it will come back up. Now, based on this, Amar Rav Achoy says, Hilkach, therefore, since you consider the kmitza, the fistful of flour, as one contiguous piece, so then the following halacha devolves from this. High kamitz pigel. So if you have this fistful of the flour of the mincha that was pigel, the palge machas ha'ar, we have half of it on the ground, upalge aske amarach, and half of it was taken up to the pyre on top of the mizbeach, umosh l'bay ha'ur, and then the fire took a hold of that part which was already put up on the top. So then it already is considered as if it took a hold of even the half that's on the ground. And therefore, masiknele lekula leketchil, that we're even initially going to be able to take up the half that's still on the ground, that the fire never took over hold of it. Because we said that when you take up the whole thing, we said that even that part that wasn't yet taken possession of, even that, the fire is going to be considered as if it took a hold of the whole thing. And you said that if it goes down, even the part that wasn't mashla'ar is going to go back up. So you see that it helps for the whole kmitza, even though it's crummy and it's really not like one thing. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if all of it went up, or even if only half it went up and the other half is on the bottom, still we're going to be able to bring up the whole thing. That's the halacha, because mashla ben or, then the whole kmitza is considered lechem Hashem, even if it never went up in the first place. A similar type of a discussion from this teaching of Ula, Amr Yitzchok, Amr Yechanan. He says, ha-pigel, regarding the pigel, which we were discussing from this halacha of Ula, v'hanoiser, and so too a piece of a carbon which was left over its requisite time, v'atamei, and if it became tamei, regarding these three forbidden types of pieces of a carbon, shehelon legabe mizbeach, it was put up on top of the mizbeach, then paka isamehen, then its prohibition has been removed from that piece. Regarding the iser pigel, like we said before, regarding ulo, that if it went down, you'll still take it back up. Regarding the iser of noiser and tamei, also is going to be paka their iser, meaning to say that whoever's going to eat it now, it's not going to be chayv for the chiyuv of eating a carbon that's tameh or that was neiser, which usually that's the prohibition. One is not going to have that iser once the fire of the mizbeach was mashla behen ho'or. That is the Gemara. Aron of Chizdi says, Mori Dichi, the master of this teaching, mizbeach mikveh tahara, what is the altar, a purifying mikveh, a ritual bath, to purify the carbon that was tameh because it already was put up on top of the mizbeach? How does it remove that iser of a carbon that's tameh? Amr Zeri says, Shemashal ben Or. Similar like we said regarding Ula's teaching, it because the fire took possession of it. Since the fire took possession of it, so it loses its status of the Isser of a carbon that has Tumah, because now it's a different qualification. It's considered Lechem Hashem. And now, therefore, that removes the Isser of the Tumah of Kachem. If one would eat from it, he would not be liable for that Isser of partaking of a Kachem in a state that the carbon was Tumah. However, Masam Ritzchim Babisna for the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Acherim Oimrim, the others say, quoting a Pasuk in the Yikra, the Pasuk says, the Tumasai Olav, that the Tumah is on it. Now, later on in the Gemara, a few lines from now, the Gemara is going to bring the entirety of this Brisa. What the Brisa is attempting to do is to explain that this Pasuk is told by the prohibition of eating a carbon in the state when the person is in the state of Tumah. And the pasuk is in the Yikra Paragzayin that says, "Vanefesh ashatechol basar mizevech ashlamim ashel Hashem." If someone's going to eat the meat of a carbon shlam that's for Hashem, but tumasay olav, and the tumah is on it. Now, so the Brisa discusses and says, you would think, what does it mean on him, on it? That it's referring to the tumah of the meat. To say olav is on the meat, that the meat is tumah. And it's coming to tell us that if a Torah person eats a carbon that's tumah, he's going to be liable for the punishment of karas. That's what the Acherim say. No, it says, V'tumasei olav. What does it mean, that the tumah is on it? Sounds like it's still on it, meaning to say, but it's tumah something that could purify itself. Now, that must be tumah the person, because misha tumah perachas mimena must be referring to something that the tumah could be taken off from it by immersion in the mikvah. Yatsabasa, that excludes meat. She'en tumah perachas mimena. You can't immerse a tumah piece of meat in the mikvah and purify it. So therefore it must be, that's how the Acherim say, which we'll see many different interpretations to prove it. The Acherim hold, how do we know it's Tumah when the person is Tumah? Because Tumasai love tells us something that only now it's Tumah, but it could be Tar later on, must be the person, not the piece of meat. And that has the Gemara, Ve'im Isa. Now if it's true, like we said before, that meat of a carbon could be purified by being put on top of the Mizbeach, so how could Acherim learn? That must be the Pasuk's not talking about that the buster is Tumah. Why? We could purify the impurity of the meat of the carbon by putting on the fire of the Mizbech, and that will purify it. That Amar Rav says, no, alidei mikvah kamrinan. What did we mean when we said purification? That tumasai love means it's on it. How do you usually get tuma off? By the mikvah, that's only possible by a person and not by a piece of meat. That has to get more midi mikvah ksiv. Does the pasuk say that it's only tummy now because it wasn't purified through the mikvah? No, it wasn't purified. If you say you can purify the meat by putting on the fires, maybe it's referring to the meat and not to the person. So Elamar Papa, rather Papa explains. He says, "Bepsar shlamim askinan." That pasuk of a tumasei love is talking about a carbon shlamim, the lechazi laakrava, where the meat of the carbon shlamim is not fit to be put on the mizbeach. And therefore, there's no ability to remove the tumah by putting it on the fire, because shlam is not an oila. Shlam, the meat, is eaten by the people. And therefore, putting that on the mizbeach would not give a person the opportunity to remove the tumah by putting it on top of the mizbeach. However, Vinam, he gives a different resolution. And the reason why he gives a different resolution is because the truth is, the pasuk is referring even to the limbs which are fit for the mizbeach. Because the words in that pasuk that we quoted before that says Asher LaHashem comes to include, what do you mean Asher LaHashem? Shlam is eaten by the Kohanim and by the owners. That comes to include the Emurim, the sacrificial parts. So therefore, there are parts that could be purified by putting on the Mizbeach, which are the Emurim. So then we're back to the question, so maybe it is Tumah, the meat that's Tumah, which could be purified, and it's only Tumah on it now. It gets purified when you put it on top of the Mizbeach. Now, so on that comes Ravina to say that still it's not going to be difficult. Because you could learn that, like the Acherim are saying, that the tumah is not going on the meat, rather on the person. Because the pasuk says, V'tumasei olav, the tumah is on it. What does that mean? Misha tumah peirachas imenu kishu shalom. We're talking about only something that the tumah could be removed from it when it's in its intact state. Meaning, however it received the tumah, which was in its whole state, because the word olav sounds like on it, that it's totally intact. Now that's possible for the person who he became tummy when he's intact, and he can become tar when he's intact. Yatzabasa, that excludes the meat from being the subject of the pasuk, because that's davar shein tumah perachas kishu shalom ele kishu chasa. That's not something that the tumah could be removed when it's still in its intact state. It's only when it's not intact, when it's already mushlam and the or, when the fire already started burning from it, that's the only way that the tara could come to it, and therefore that cannot be the subject of the pasuk, because it says Allah, which sounds like that it stays in its intact state, and therefore that's the understanding of the Acherim, and it's not difficult on the teaching of Rabbi Yechanan, who said that, yeah, you could remove the tumah by putting on top of the Mizbeach. Now, once we introduced this teaching of Acherim, which was brought as a question to ask in this teaching of Yechanan, so now the Gemara quotes the entirety of the Braisa. Gufa, we learned as follows. The pasuk says, V'tumasei Allah. We're talking about something that the pasuk says, that if a person is going to eat from a carbon, V'tumasei Allah, the tumah is on it or him, not clear, then the person is going to get karas. So says the Braisa, what does it mean, B'tumas ha-gufa kasam adab? The pasuk is talking about the tumah when the person's body has tumah and the carbon is tar. Because that's really what the psukim are talking about. Because the pasuk over there in that parasha says, kol tar yechol basar, anyone who's pure could eat the meat of the carbon. And then it says, v'anefesh ha-shatechol basar, but the person who eats it sounds like, but it's talking about, but if he's tummy, then he cannot. And if he does, he'll get karas. Now, although the pasuk starts off in the talking about the person's body in the feminine, because it says vanefesh asher toichal, which is the feminine terminology. And then when it describes the tumasai regarding what's tame, it says olav, not oleha, olav, which is the masculine, which is the male, which sounds like therefore that's not going on the person, because the person was described in the feminine. It must be talking about the piece of meat. Even so, says the Braisa, then no, it's talking about that the person's body is tame and not the meat. On that, asked the Braisa, why? At the Ayman B'Tumas Aguf, do you really say that it's really Tumah when the person's body is Tameh? Maybe we're talking about that the meat is Tameh, because like we said, the word Alav is masculine, and when it was talking about the one who's eating it, he was mentioned in the feminine. So maybe it's really talking about Tumas Basa. Says the Braisa, no. And this is where there's four different interpretations to prove, and one of them was the Achayim that we mentioned before. Nemer Kan Tumasai, in this Pasuk it says, Tumasai Alav his Tumah. There's a pasuk of Bamidbar that says the tumah is in him. So we're learning Gzer Shava of Tumasai Tumasai. Where in that pasuk of Bamidbar, it's talking about the prohibition of someone who's tumah to enter the Beis HaMikdash in the state of impurity. Where there it says, Oy Tumasai Bai, if he still has his tumah in him. Malahalam Tumasai Gufa, because Madab is just like over there. It's clearly the pasuk Toma. When the person's body is tumah, Avkama Tumasai Gufa, because Madab is so too, says the Tanakama. Here also must be referring to when it says Tumasai, the Gzer Shava tells us, is when his body is tumah. That's one interpretation. Rabbi Yisrael, he gives a different interpretation. He says, "Hail v'nemru kachem alashen rabim." Since when it refers to the carbon, to the holy item, the shlamim, it refers to it in the plural because shlamim is plural. And v'nemru tuma b'lashen yachid. However, when it talks about the thing becoming tamei, it says it in the singular. It says v'tumas ay alav, which is singular. It doesn't say v'tumasa malehem. Ah, so it must be the carbon was mentioned in the plural. When we're saying what's tame is in the singular, must be betumas agufa kas medab betumat, the singular person, and regarding his body becoming tame. A third source, Rebbe Eimer, he says the pasuk after it is will prove it that it's talking about tumas aguf, not tumas basar. Because the following pasuk says, nefesh ki siga b'chol tame, anyone who touches something that's tame, whether it's something from Tumas Adam or from a behemoth tamei or any abominable sheretz, and then he eats from the meat of a carbon shlamim that's for Hashem, he's going to get karas. Now, the pasuk there says, v'achal, if he eats from the meat of the carbon shlamim, now, but Tumas Aguf kasim adaber. Therefore, it must be talking about that it's talking about when the body is tummy. But later on, the Gemara is going to explain, where do you see from the next pasuk, from the word v'achal, from the next pasuk, to prove whatever that halach is talking about regarding the first pasuk, that the first pasuk is talking about tumas aguf. But the Gemara will explain that. Now the fourth interpretation, which was that which we quoted before, Achayim, they say, oh, the pasuk says b'tumasei alav. That sounds like that it didn't yet wasn't purified from it yet. So therefore, it must be we're talking about misha tuma parachas memenda, something that the tuma could be removed from it. That's what the pasuk is talking about. If it was talking about the meat, that we said the tuma would always remain on it. So yatsa basar shein tuma parachasman, that would exclude the ability of the subject of the pasuk being the meat, that the tuma can never be removed from it. And as we said, three different interpretations of what that means. What do you mean, can it be according to B'Yechan removed by putting on the fires? So that we explain whether it means through a mikvah, or whether we're talking about kitzitz shlamim, which it's not put on the mizbeach, or like Ravina said, because it has to be yatsa kishu shalom, but basar cannot be removed in the state of when it's intact. Now, the Gemara goes back to the third interpretation. Amma Ma, the town of the Braisa quoted Rebbe Eimer. His interpretation was to prove, how do we know it's talking about tumas aguf? Because the pasuk after that says va'achal. Oh, so it must be betumas aguf akas medaber. That's talking about the impurity of the body. That is the gemara. My mashma. We do see from the following pasuk that the first pasuk is talking about tumas aguf. Maybe the second pasuk is talking about tumas aguf. Like it's obvious from the next pasuk, it's talking about nefesh hashatiga b'chal tamei, a person that touches anything that's tamei and he becomes tamei. But how can you prove that the first pasuk is also talking about tumas aguf? Maybe the pasuk before it's talking about tumas basar. And that actually would be understandable to say that, because it doesn't say v'tumasa aleha, that it would sound like it's going on about nefesh hashatechal basar. It would sound like v'tumasa yalav. So it sounds like it's its own thing, and maybe it's talking about the basar, not the tumas aguf. So Amar Rava explains, it says, kol kra, he says, any pasuk the Rav Yitzchak Bar Abadimi did not explain it. And v'chol masnita de lemefarish le Rav Zeiri, and any brisa that was not explained by Rav Zeiri, or the Gemara is going to later explain what that brisa is referring to, then lemefarish, it's not going to be well explained. And he explained because hocha amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Abadimi to explain this pasuk, which will help us understand this interpretation of Rebbe. Now, hayelu pasuk ha-kasa b'loshen nekeva, the pasuk opens up in the feminine, in the female terminology. And the pasuk concludes in the feminine. And it says masculine in the middle. Oh, must be betumas haguf akas medaber. Must be that it's talking about that it's when the person's body became tummy. How do we know this? Because like we said, the pasuk after it starts off nefesh kisige b'chol tummy. If a person is going to touch anything that's tummy, which is feminine, then it says v'ochel mibsar zevach hashlam. He's going to eat from the meat of the carbon, which that's the masculine, because it doesn't say v'ochla mipsar zevach, which would be feminine. It's saying it in the v'ochl, which is the masculine. And then the pasuk concludes v'nichris saha nefesh, which is not v'nichris, v'nichris saha nefesh, is in the feminine. So that's what Rebbe's proving from this pasuk afterwards. Obviously, the pasuk was not particular about the type of changing from feminine to masculine to feminine. It doesn't mean anything, because obviously even though it changes, they're all referring to the person becoming tummy. That says Rebbe, and that's what is being explained by Rebbe Yitzchak Bar Abadimi, must be the first pasuk also. Don't wonder if the pasuk opens up and ends with feminine, in the middle it says in the masculine, even so, it's going to be betumas haguf hakas medaber. It's going to be talking about when the person's body became tummy. Now, it's logical to say that because the psukim before we're talking about tumas aguf, because it already stopped talking about over there from when the meat became tummy. Because the pasuk had been saying, the pasuk says, if the meat became tummy, don't eat it. So we know already regarding tumas basa. Then the pasuk continues and says, kol tar yechol basa. Regarding the meat, anyone who's tar should eat the meat. So it stopped talking about tumas basa and already started talking about tumas aguf. And then the pasukim continues, it says, which the pasuk that's under discussion, that it sounds like we're continuing with talking about tumas aguf. Now, the only reason why we had a doubt was because, but the pasuk, when it starts talking about the one who eats it in the state of impurity, starts off in the feminine, and then it says, but tumas say a love in the masculine. So that's why we would have thought to say, why is it changing? Obviously, because it's not talking about the person, it's now talking about that what's tummy is the meat. That's what Rebbe says, and that's what Rebbe Abdim is explaining. No, the pasuk after that shows you that even in that type of terminology, when you go from feminine to masculine to feminine, it doesn't mean anything. Just like the second pasuk, it remains tumas aguf, here also remains tumas aguf. Now, if one, however, is going to ask, but if that's the case, you have two consecutive psukim, the first pasuk and the second pasuk that Rebbe's quoting, that are both talking about getting karas for tumas aguf. Says Rashi, actually, there's actually three creases that are mentioned regarding tumas aguf. And the Gemara later on, the Mevum Marav is going to explain why is it necessary to say three creases, punishments of karas, regarding eating kachim in a state of impurity. But that was Rav Yitzchak Bar Abadimi's interpretation of the pasuk to explain this opinion of Rabbi. Now, continuing on this idea, Masnita, regarding the Brisa, which if Zeiri doesn't explain it, we're not going to understand it. What's that referring to? Which Brisa is not well understood without Zeiri? The Tanya, like we learned in the Brisa is talking about eating kachim in a state of tumas aguf, when the person himself is tummy, as is brought in Teres Kainim in the Brisa. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain what Zeiri comes to teach us. What does the Brisa mean when it says the lenient one, the stringent one, and what does it mean I would have thought to say? The Brisa says as follows, the enigmatic words, im namru kalis, had it said only regarding the lighter ones, again, we're talking about in the context of eating something that's holy in the state of physical impurity. So had it said regarding the lighter ones, so lama nemer chamuris, and why did it say the stringent ones? And v'im nemer chamuris. Now if you're saying the stringent ones, lama nemer kalas, why saying the lenient ones? Oh, says the Braisa, because as follows. Im nemer kalas v'le chamuris, had we only said the lenient ones and not the stringent ones, you see, I would say, ala kalas palav. The lenient ones are only going to be a negative prohibition, v'ala chamuris b'misa, and the stringent ones are going to get the death penalty. L'kach nemer chamuris, that's where I have to say the stringent ones, that they're going to have negative prohibition. Now, v'im nemer chamuris v'le nemer kalas, had we only said the stringent ones and not the lenient ones, then I would say, then that I would say that because liability is only by the stringent ones, and that by the lenient ones, you're actually going to be even exempt. That's to say, by the lenient ones too, that's to say, there's also going to be a negative prohibition. So says the Gemara, which is not well understood, my kalas and my chamuris. What does it mean the lenient ones, and what does it mean the stringent ones? Ile makalas meiser chamuris teruma. If you would think to say that the lenient ones is the halachas of the tithes of meiser and the stringent ones are teruma, which both of them are in the same parasha in Vayikach of Beis, where it says v'lo yechol min hakadoshim. If a person's tamei, which the halachas were taught, he should not partake and eat from kadoshim. Ki em rochatz besar b'mayim, unless he washes his body in water, which the Gemara Maseches Yevamos Daf Ayin Daled Amud Beis explains, that's Tumat Meiser, because it says, Ki Imrachatz, unless if he washed himself, if he immersed in the mikvah, which sounds like that if he did tefillah, he could eat it, even though he didn't have sundown yet, that's only the halacha by someone who's tummy when it comes to eat Meiser. So that's what we learn out, but if he didn't have immersion yet, he has a negative prohibition. Now the Pasuk says over there, Uvo HaShemesh V'tir, if he has sundown, then he becomes pure. V'achol Yechem HaKachem, then he could eat from the holy things, which the Gemara there explains to Matruma, because it says over there that you need sundown, which applies to Truma. And it says over there, by Truma, Umesu by Ki V'chulu, that he's going to get the death penalty. That's what the Tana of the Brice is saying, that had we said Meiser, what it says regarding it, and it would not have said regarding Truma, so he said Mebemesa. So then I would say that it would be the death penalty. Because it says Umesu by Ki Chalu. But now that we're saying it, that is not going to be the death penalty. Well, that is the Gemara. What, you're not going to get the death penalty? What do you mean? It says the death penalty by it. Hashtanami Habamisa, what are you talking about? It actually says that Truma is going to get death penalty. You can't say the Kalas and the Chamuris. It's say, because if not, you would have thought whatever, and then so that we have to say both to say this, both are only getting negative prohibition. What are you saying? Truma actually does get the death penalty. So you can't say that that's why it says it, to say that it gets only a lot. Basu, moreover, another question on this would be, V'ilay Nemer, Hayisi Oimbe Bemisa, that we're saying, had we not said it, that it gets a negative prohibition, oh, then we would have said that it's going to get the death penalty. On that, the question is, where, if it's Tumat Truma, where anyway it's difficult because the Pasuk does say it gets the death penalty, but let's say it doesn't say it gets the death penalty. So had it not said that it gets negative prohibition only, we would have said that it's going to get the death penalty. On that, the Gemara's question is, but why would you say it gets the death penalty? The only way you would know Truma, if it only said the Kal, which is Meiser, I would know from a Kal V'chamer from Meiser. So then, daya lova min adin, lias kanidin, we know the halachic dictum, which tells us that if you're learning out a kal v'chomer from something that's more lenient, it cannot be more severe than the thing you're learning it out from. So just like meiser is a negative prohibition and not death penalty, so obviously truma would also only be a negative prohibition and not any death penalty. So it cannot be referring to kal sechamuris, to meiser, and to truma. So Ella rather says the Gemara, different interpretation. What does it mean when it says kal sechamuris? It's not going on the severity of the holy things that you're eating, but rather on the tumma that the person has. Kalas tuma sheretz, the lenient is regarding the tuma if a person became tuma just from a sheretz, which is more lenient because it's only a tuma for till overnight. Chamur is tumas meis. The more severe tuma is going on if someone became tuma from a dead person, which is more severe, where it's a tuma for 7 days and it has to be purified with for the ashes from the paraduma. Now, we could say that it's talking about these two items because the psukim talk about these two things of tumas meis and tuma sheretz, like it says over there in that Perik and Vayikra, Perik of Beis, that it says, V'hanageh b'chol tamei nefesh, if someone becomes tamei where he touched anything that's a dead person, or Ashayigah b'chol sheretz, if he touches the sheretz, where both of them are written there in the context of eating Maisa and Truma and its punishments. And that's what the Bryce is saying. Had we said only the Tumas of sheretz and it would not have said the Tumas of Mes, so then I would have thought that Tumas Mes to get the death penalty. Had we said only Tumas Mes, I would say that only the Yichayv, but by Tumas sheretz, you're not even be liable. So therefore, we have to say both, that both get a negative prohibition. And not that you're potter and not there's a death penalty. That is the Gemara, but ubamai. But regarding what consumption of these two tumas are we talking about? Iber truma, if we're referring regarding truma, idi hubamisa. No matter what the tumma is, for both types of tumas, if someone eats truma in a state of impurity, gets the death penalty. So what is that we're saying that, oh, the lenient ones we would have thought gets a negative prohibition or that it gets? It's not true, it actually gets a death penalty. Vesu, moreover, the Braisa says, oh, lekach nemer chamurus. That's why it says the more stringent ones, to tell you that it's only going to be debalav. What do you mean? It's not true. Habamisihi, it gets the death penalty. So it can't be referring regarding truma. Continues the Gemara, and ve'ibachilis ma'isa, and if you would think it's regarding the consumption of ma'isa, as you continue to have a mendal amar aleph, you can't say that either. Because what does the Braisa say? Im lo nemru chamurus, had we not said the stringent ones, so ha'yisayimah, I would have said, okay, so tum sheretz, if he's tummy from sheretz and he eats ma'isa, he's going to get a negative prohibition. And al chamurus b'misa, I would have said that on the more stringent things, he's going to get the death penalty. Meaning, if he has tumas mes, then he's going to get the death penalty. That's why you have to say, also the case of tumas mes, that the stringent one, to say that it only gets a negative prohibition, that you shouldn't think that it gets the death penalty even by ma'iser, because had we not said, and we only said the kalis, I would have said on the chamurus, when he has tumas mes, he's going to get the death penalty. Well, that's the difficulty is, how can you say that? Hometumas sheretz kasir. Where do you know tumas mes being liable? From a kalvo chamer, from tumas sheretz. And the same question we said before, v'dai lovam min adin, li'iz kanidin. The whole thing, it cannot be more severe what you're learning it out from, and if I would never have said it's going to get the death penalty, only negative prohibition. So how do you understand this braisa? That was Amaziri, he explained it. He says as follows. Kalais tumas sheretz. Yes, when it refers to the lenient ones, we're talking about a lesser tuma, that of tumas sheretz. Chamurus, the most severe tuma, is referring to tumas mes when it became tuma for touching a dead person. V'hachikam, and this is what the braisa is saying. Ilu nemer tumas sheretz, had we only said in the parasha the tuma of becoming tuma from a sheretz, benema b'maiser, and then we would have said that regarding maiser, it's going to get a negative prohibition like we said. The truma would get the death penalty, like we said, like the pasuk says explicitly regarding being tummy and eating from truma. V'loy namer tumas mes, and had it not said the tuma of becoming tummy from a dead person, that's what the braisa says to Yisrael. I would have said as follows: kalois, regarding the more lenient tuma of tumas sheretz, al hakalois, on the more lenient subject, that of eating what's more kal, which is meiser, that would have been belav, only negative prohibition. And I would have said, but va'ala chamurois, regarding when tumas sheretz is eating the more severe thing like truma, that then b'misa would get the death penalty. And from there I would learn out, so too, umidikalis, from the fact that the more lenient tuma, that of sheretz, ala chamuris b'misa, regarding what's more severe of truma, is going to get the death penalty. So the same thing works in the reverse. Chamuris nami, so too regarding the more severe tuma, that of tumas mes, ala kalis, on the more lenient subject, which is meiser, would also be b'misa, would also get the death penalty, because what's the difference if it's a severe tuma and what's being eaten is lenient, or regarding what's being eaten is severe and that the tuma is kala? That's what the Braisa says. That's what it has to say. The more severe tumas hames regarding eating of the meiser, that it's not going to get death penalty. And therefore it has to explain that it's only going to be negative prohibition and not the death penalty, to tell you that it's only bas hara. Because the real side would have thought to say that it's the same thing. Chamuris regarding kalis, or kalis regarding chamuris. Meaning, if you're going to say that if the tuma of sheretz regarding truma gets death penalty, so kalas al chamuris is misa, so the chamuris al kalas, the more severe tuma of mes, on the kalas of misa, should also get death. That's why we say that no, it's always going to be only asara, only a lav by misa. That was the other teaching that he said, that if we don't have, where we said Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Dima was explaining the teaching of Rebbe, and we don't have this teaching of Zeir, we're not going to understand the Braisa, because without him, we would not have understood what does it mean, kalas al chamuris, to say without one, without the other. We would have thought that it's not going to be death penalty, that it's going to be death penalty on the chamuris, or not going to be chayv at all the kalis, that we only understood from the combination of the way Zeiri interpreted the Braisa.